All right, let's lock it down because I'm not the brightest guy you'll meet. Talk a bunch of Oregon sports, and who better than the voice of football, baseball and basketball, sideline reporter extraordinaire for football, host of Duck Insider, on Twitter, use the handle at Joey Mack UO. Joey Mack, how's it going?
It's great, Steve. How are you?
I'm obviously a little bit of a scatterbrain, but because of you and Nick, I've somehow managed to pull it together. So yesterday, I loved the photo you sent out on Twitter. You're at PK Park. It's a beautiful sunny day. The sunshine, and going from that to a lightning delay. Is that a new one on your broadcasting resume?
Let's just say that was the epitome of the broadcaster's jinx, I suppose. I got a lot of heat for that one, actually. But it was a nice day. And just like right now, it's actually a nice day at PK Park, but it turned quickly. Yeah, lightning delays are, we've had a few of those for Oregon baseball. We haven't had a lot of them in Eugene. So that was certainly the broadcaster's jinx. I wore that one a little bit.
You know, this time of year, personally, I get a little lost in March Madness, the NBA, the MLB season. So as far as a catch-up, as far as Oregon baseball, seems like since the start of conference play, I know they had a 1-0 win against the Huskies, good game against Utah last Sunday. Safe to say maybe they need to find more consistency pitching-wise because they've had some rough outings.
Yeah, particularly in the bullpen. You know, that's been the real Achilles heel for the Ducks. They've had some great starting pitching, even with an injury to Kenyon Jovan, who might be a first-round MLB draft pick. He hasn't pitched since the opening weekend. He's still trying to get healthy. And so with some injuries to him and then Cole Stringer, who was in the rotation, he's been banged up just now working his way back after about a month on the shelf. You know, they've had some injuries, but they were able to kind of get through it in the rotation at least, but in the bullpen, it's been a little bit of an up-and-down battle. You know, a big reason why the Ducks lost to Fresno State last night, they gave up a crooked number in the sixth inning. 8 walks in the sixth inning led to 5 runs, and it didn't help that they had a drop fly ball in left field. But definitely, I think throwing strikes more consistently is the key for this team. This is one of the better offensive teams that George Horton's had. The Ducks have been consistently hitting over .260 on the season. They're just driving in more runs, but the pitching just hasn't been up to the standard that they're used to. And some of that is injury, but some of that is just got to throw strikes more. That's what pitching coach Jason Dietrich really, really harps on is, in college baseball, the teams that are the most successful, it's the ones that throw strikes.
Yeah, 8 walks seems like a red flag. We're talking with Joey Mack. Let's get to hoops. So if on the night of February 23rd, as you were leaving Pauley Pavilion after the Ducks gave up 62 second-half points, if you got a text from me and it said, you need to check the airlines because you're probably going to end up in Louisville calling a Sweet 16 game, Joey, how concerned would have been for my well-being?
More than normal, I can put it that way, right? I mean, no, I was surprised of the turnaround for sure. And I think it shows a few things about the Ducks. One, clearly something clicked with giving up 62 points to UCLA. That's twice that Oregon blew a lead against UCLA, one at home and one on the road. I mean, you're up by 9 points with 55 seconds to go. You have no business losing a game, and the Ducks did that to UCLA. Then they were up at halftime and gave up 62 second-half points, and the rest of the season, Oregon did not give up 62 points in a regulation game the rest of the way. In the 11 games that the Ducks played after that, the only time that they allowed more than 62 points in an entire game was in the overtime game of the Pac-12 semifinals against Arizona State. Yeah, it was a pretty remarkable turnaround, and it surprised me a little bit, but I think it tells you that the Ducks really found something down the stretch, and also Dan Altman's teams always seem to figure things out down the stretch, and I think some of it is because of the defense that he coaches and the Ducks play. That matchup zone really gives people problems, and really the entire basis of it is communication. And if you've got a bunch of freshmen that aren't big communicators, and that's kind of what the Ducks had this year, that matchup zone's very, very difficult to figure out and to play well on the defensive side. Once the Ducks started communicating, for instance, Okoro kind of set the tone for the Ducks in the starting lineup. That was when things really shifted, and I was surprised that the Ducks made that run. I think everybody kind of was, but maybe the best way to describe it is when I asked Dana Altman if he saw it coming or something clicked, he just looked at me and he went, I don't know. I didn't know. I didn't see this. I mean, it's amazing the shift that the Ducks went through. And credit Dane Altman, Paul White, Peyton Pritchard, all the leaders on this team. It was a pretty remarkable run, and I think it gives them a lot of momentum heading into next year, and that's not something they had 2 months ago.
You know, of everyone, I mean, aside from his family and players, you probably talk with Coach Altman the most, and, you know, because basketball is so up close and personal, I watch him a lot over the years, and he just conducts himself a certain way. Would I be accurate in saying, prior to this incredible run, that this was about as frustrated as he gets? And I don't know if the guys weren't buying in or what, but you could almost see it in his body language that he was, beyond the results, he wasn't pleased with how whether it be the effort or whether it was the guys allowing themselves to be coached.
Oh, yeah, that's definitely a fair statement. I think there was frustration not just with Coach Altman, but everybody, the players and the staff and just everybody around the team. There was some frustration. And I don't think it wasn't that the guys weren't buying in. I just think that things hadn't clicked in the right way, and the Ducks just weren't getting the results that they wanted to really, I guess, build in the right direction. So, no, there was definitely a lot of frustration. You know, I thought that this team was very similar to that 2013 team, not just because they were both 12 seeds that made it to the Sweet 16. They both played in San Jose, but I thought it was just the way that things clicked down the stretch, particularly defensively. That 2013 team really got things together defensively. That's why they made it to the Sweet 16. This team was the same way. And Coach Altman said to me a lot early in the season, I think this just tells you the level of frustration, that this was a squad that had to see success on the offensive end. So shots had to fall. You know, shots had to go in for this young team. Otherwise, things weren't going to go well for the Ducks come the final buzzer, because they just didn't have the energy that was necessary to win unless shots were going down. And I just remember Coach Altman talking to me about that a lot, honestly, in non-conference season, even in early Pac-12 season. And then there was that mentality shift where the Ducks, I think, saw just how valuable the defensive effort was, and they were able to build some energy and momentum in-game based on the defensive stops. That was the biggest shift, and that was all of a sudden when I saw Coach Altman's body language change. You know, I think he was realizing that the Ducks were figuring that out, and that's what his teams always seem to do down the stretch. But I think you're right. This was one of the more frustrating years, and probably a few more gray hairs were populated this year than in other years. But at the same time, credit to Coach Altman, a guy who I think is a Hall of Famer. He found a way. He and his staff found a way down the stretch, and the team, well, they made it to the Sweet 16 as a 12 seed again.
Steve Mims wrote an article about Ducks who might be in the NBA picture. You know, when we know Bol Bol is gone. Kenny Wooten, we know he's crazy athletic. He could jump out of the building. But would it be accurate to say that more like Jordan Bell after his sophomore year, you saw what he could become and did become. But right now, the offensive repertoire for Wooten seems a little limited for the NBA.
I think that it is, too, and I'm curious to see what his draft evaluation will say. I really love the new rules where guys can get their NBA draft evaluation without having to commit to the draft.
Yeah.
I think not only is it better for the player and the student-athlete so that they don't make maybe a rash decision to try and go pro when they may not even get drafted, but I think it's also just better for the schools because then they kind of know what is expected, and also the players tend to get better when they get those draft evaluations. And I think Kenny Wooten's will say that he probably needs some seasoning in the offense on the offensive side. And you know, it's too bad that Kenny got hurt and broke his jaw in the game right before Christmas against Baylor, missed nearly a month. I mean, his offensive game, I thought really, I guess, stalled when that happened. You know, he had flashes in non-conference that it was more than just the alley-oop energy dunks that Kenny was going to get. And instead, he looked like he was seasoning himself a little bit more. But that kind of halted, and then it took him a month of getting comfortable with the mask and just focusing on defense to even get comfortable on the floor again. So I think one more year would certainly give him a big benefit. And you know, he's kind of similar to Jordan Bell, honestly, Steve. I mean, Jordan Bell, as a sophomore, a lot of people were going, yeah, he's still pretty raw. And,
yep.
You know, Kenny's similar to Jordan. They both hadn't played a lot of basketball before coming to Oregon. And the comparisons to Jordan Bell aren't just because of the block shots. It's also because Jordan had to get better on the offensive glass, and or on the offensive side of the ball, I should say. And ultimately, he did, and that's why Jordan Bell's playing for the Warriors, and he's got an NBA career right now. And it took Jordan Bell until his junior season to really make that jump offensively, and maybe Kenny Wooten's the same way.
Final thought for Joey Mack. I know because of your schedule, you've had to catch a lot of what the women accomplish, either on the run, via replay, but you speak with Kelly Graves and the players, and all successful teams kind of draw you in, but it seems like this group, from the coach on down, you know, they kind of take a piece of your heart, and be it because they're just so joyful in the way they play, they just make you want to root your guts out for them.
Man, they do, you know, and that's something that I've really loved about the way that the entire team has taken on the personality of their head coach in Kelly Graves. You know, when he got the job 5 years ago, he's just so charismatic, he's fun, but he's serious at the same time. You know, he's serious when he needs to be. And I just really feel like his team has taken on that personality. They always say that the team has the personality of its head coach. That's when you know the culture of the program is in place and things are going well. And that's what's happened with this Oregon women's basketball team. And I think Sabrina Ionescu is very similar to Kelly Graves in that regard. You know, she's a goofball, as people would say. And at the same time, though, she locks in and she's serious, and she's one of the most fierce competitors I've ever been around. So I just think that's such a cool dynamic. And to me, it really embodies everything that's great about sport. You know, sports are supposed to be fun. I mean, yep. We talk about games for a living. And at the same time, there's a lot of money involved. There's a lot on the line. And there's a lot of people that care an awful lot about it. And at the end of the day, the fact that you can still have fun with it and can still have a family atmosphere and a fun-loving atmosphere while also competing at a very high level, that to me is what sport is all about. And it reminds you why all of us like sports from when we were young in the first place. So they definitely are easy to root for, and it's going to be a challenge against Baylor this afternoon, but I'm looking forward to seeing if they can get something done.
Yep, that starts at the top of the hour in about 2 hours and 18 minutes. Joey will be on with the pregame. Listen, I know you got a lot going on. We really appreciate you finding some time. You have a great broadcast tonight all weekend long, and we'll catch up soon, Joey.
Hey, thanks, Steve. Always fun. Always can make time for you, my friend. And I'm glad that I can send you into the weekend 15 minutes early tonight.
All right. Thanks a lot, Joey. Have a good one, man.